As many of you know, when this first church was first started, it was based upon the model of a church in the Chicago area, Willow Creek Community Church. And although over the past 25 plus years, we have developed our own identity as a church, as God has moved in the giftings and the passions of the people that He has led to become a part of this church family, one of the primary principles that we imported, if you will, from Willow Creek has remained constant and is as relevant to us today as it was in the earliest days of Cedar Run. And this is our commitment to the principles that Willow Creek referred to as the four E's. The first E stood for exaltation. That is, as a church, we would make engaging and rich and dynamic worship of the Jesus that we claim to follow a priority. The second E was the word edification. That is, as a church, we would make it a priority to be teaching and discipling those who the Lord brought to us so that we might all be growing deeper in our faith commitments and in our personal relationships with the Jesus that we claim to follow. The third E was for evangelism. That is, we would not become just a country club for those who had already trusted in Christ, but that there would be a major emphasis on encouraging and challenging those within this church family to make it a priority to both seek out and be in relationship with those who may seem uninterested in things of God, so that they might one day open their hearts to that same Jesus that we claim to follow. And then there was a fourth E, and it is the one we are going to focus on during our message time this morning. We have already touched on it through the ministry spotlight on the Kids Serve ministry. And this E stands for the term extension. Now, what does this mean? Well, it's really quite simple. See, every morning when you and I wake up to a new day, there are people all around us in this community who are faced with challenges that if we truly understood them, would make many of our own petty concerns pale into insignificance. And each and every one of us here, knowing that these needs exist, have two choices in how we respond to this reality. We can either extend our hand and in some way try to help them, hence the term extension ministry, or we can pull our hand back and we can ignore them. And it is so easy to pull back and to ignore the needs because, you see, we're a fairly affluent church in one of the richest counties in the richest country on this planet. We are not an inner city church with scores of homeless people sleeping on our front door each day. And we all tend to see our lives and our responsibilities through the prism of the world in which we live. See, we go to work or school, the grocery store, the soccer fields, to church, and we are mostly, if not exclusively, around people who are dealing with the same issues we are. You know, worrying about how we might pay for the six camps our child wants to attend this summer, or worrying about how we might pay for that out-of-state college our child wants to attend when we had budgeted for them to go to a home state school, or worrying about how we will retire with the same standard of living we experience when we are working full-time. And we can tend to forget that there are people living in very different worlds with a very different set of worries, not just in some other far-off country, but right around the corner. We can tend to ignore those people and their needs because we just don't typically interact with them as we proceed through our daily routines. We don't tend to hang out with people whose primary worries are not about camps or college or retirement, but are simply about whether they will have food to eat at their next meal. Any moms here ever have a member of your family whine about what you fix them for dinner? Anybody? Raise your hand. See, for most of us here, our greatest worry when it comes to food is that we'll eat too much of it. But for many people, even here in our community of Fairfax County. Their major worry is not what or how much they will eat. It is whether they will eat at all. Now, this is not to say that we do not have people struggling financially in our church. People who have lost their jobs or faced an unexpected health emergency. And we are committed as a church to meeting those needs as best we can. It is why we place money aside in each year's budget for what we call our benevolence fund, to help those in our church family deal with financial crises. But extension ministry really goes much further than that, because it is designed to reach not just those within our church walls, although you'll hear from some of the ministries there is a real emphasis on that, but it is also designed to touch those out in our community who may never walk into this sanctuary on a Sunday morning. And so the question we have to continually ask ourselves is, are we as a church extending our hands, or are we pulling them back? Do we notice and care, or do we avoid and look the other way? Friends, we, Pastor Seeger and myself and the leadership of this church, want it to be made up of men and women who are totally committed to extending their hands on behalf of the Jesus that we claim to follow. And this morning, I do not want you to just listen to me talk about this. I want you to hear directly from some of the people here who are actively engaged in our extension efforts. And then I am hopeful that once this service concludes, you will not just rush out of here on your way to lunch or the soccer fields, but that you will stop by the tables out in the community room where each one of these ministries that you're going to hear from will be, so that you can learn even more about what they do. And as you do, it is my hope you will ask God if He might have a place for you to extend your hand. Because if you do, I believe you will find, much like the Grinch did in that famous Christmas movie, when he extended his hand to the people of Whoville, that your heart will grow three sizes or more each and every time that you extend your hand. With that, I'm going to start off, and I'm going to ask Julie Ward to come up here. Julie's involved in a number of different ministries that are kind of under this heading. So I'm going to ask her to share with you a little bit about each and every one. I think we have a slide up there. Just list five of them right now. But I'm going to have you just kind of address them. Let's go not necessarily in that order, but in the order of the ones that are coming up, because they're kind of seasonal of what we do.
That's true.
So one of them coming up right now, I guess the next one coming up is what? The backpack drive. Share a little bit about that.
Well, the backpack drive is something that WFCM is coordinated with the area schools to provide.
Just share them what WFCM is, Western Fairfax.
Oh, Western Fairfax Christian Ministries.
Who we do a lot of partnering with.
Right, exactly, which we're a partner with. That's a an organization that's about 25 years old now, and it was started by about a dozen area churches in Western Fairfax that realized there was a real need for assisting people to prevent homelessness, and that's their main focus. And they have a food pantry. They also have a financial ministry, and they have a many-pronged approach to counseling and assisting people in order to prevent them from being homeless. And one of the things that they do is for kids in need is, as I said, partnering with the Fairfax County Schools, is providing backpacks for kids that otherwise wouldn't have a new backpack for school. And so that one is coming up usually July, August, because we have to deliver the backpacks to the schools in mid-August. And it works out really well. What we've decided to do is we just purchase the backpacks that we know meet the criteria that they're looking for. They have to, particularly for the high schools, they want a certain size and sturdiness and things like that. And so we know exactly what to get. So the way we've done it is just request donations, and we go ahead and purchase the backpacks and then deliver them to the area high schools. And that is really wonderful, especially too because there's another organization, I think it's called Kid First, that provides all the supplies. So we don't have to go out and get supplies, or all they want from us is backpacks. So we do that.
How many backpacks did we do last year?
50.
Okay.
We do 50, and we get the ones from Costco. We usually get them when they've got them discounted, so it works out really well. And they are perfect for what they're looking for.
So we'll be doing that shortly.
You'll see that,
and hopefully you can be a part of that. Maybe we'll do 100 backpacks this year.
That would be great.
Okay.
Always a good thing.
Then in October, we do the Sanctity of Life baby bottle campaign. I know Peggy Bear has really kind of helped
head that up for the years. And I know you indicated that probably we'll look for somebody else to take on that this year. And that's one where it's a loose change donation, and it just is to support their ministry, which assists women in crisis pregnancies and with small children. Then right on the heels of that is Thanksgiving. The last few years, have been doing a Thanksgiving basket donation where we provide the food and everything, as well as grocery store gift cards for a Thanksgiving meal for a family. And we've done about anywhere from 12 to 15 families in the last few years.
And that could be a family within the church that we know need, or it could be
right.
a family not within the church.
Exactly, yeah. So it's just within our community. And it's always the day we finish the Thanksgiving basket, we start Giving Tree, and that's for Christmas. And we've had just a fabulous response from you guys the last couple of years with the Giving Tree. And those are, that is providing gifts for families that are in need, a crisis.
Could
and
not
that,
have
again,
Christmas
the community,
without.
Right, exactly. And it really works out wonderfully. We have lists that are given to us from the parents themselves as to the specific things their kids need or want. So, and we have the little stocking ornaments on them with the specific information about the age and the gender of the child and what they're looking for. And sometimes it could just be clothes, or sometimes it's pretty princess palace, you know.
Pretty specific.
Exactly, something very specific. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to really make, you know, Christmas a real joyful time for a family that otherwise, you know, it might be really, really a tough year for them. That, again, is our families in the community. We get people from different sources for that.
Mm-hmm. And then back in March and April, we have the
right.
bread and water.
Then in the spring, and I've usually coordinated this around Easter time, is the bread and water campaign. And that's something that is a WFCM fundraiser. And that, similar to the baby bottle campaign, it's a water bottle. And just looking for loose change. And it's just to sort of give a little injection into the coffers of WFCM for meeting some of the financial needs that they have. Particularly, trying to aid families to prevent a homeless situation from occurring for them.
So this is just some of the universe that Julie heads up, and I just so want you to get to see her up here and understand what we're doing. And, you know, if you have other suggestions of things, you can bring them to us. There's things we
Please
might
do.
Want to think about. We're open. If any of you want to serve in any of this, there'll be a table back there for ways
yes.
to help. Peggy, God bless you. I don't know how many years you've done so many different things, but, you know, it's time to give Peggy a break. And so if someone may want to just take over, just heading up that one small portion of the ministry. But these are just some, an overview of some of the ministries that we're doing under Julie. So Julie, thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we talked at the beginning of the four E's. And I was thinking in preparing this message how each E is meant to bring glory to the God that we claim to follow and to bring joy to His heart. See, the first two E's deal with the vertical of our relationship with God. Exaltation, when we worship Him. And edification, we learn how to develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. Both of those, I believe, bring glory to God and joy to His heart. because they strengthen the intimacy of our individual relationships with Him. But then the last two, evangelism and extension, both address the horizontal or the outward and bring glory and joy to God as we impact other people for Him. My primary scripture reference this morning is from a parable that Jesus tells of a king who represents God in Jesus' story. And this king separates all of humanity just as a shepherd would separate the sheep of his flock from the goats. One group is on the right, the other is on the left, and the king says these words then to the sheep. Look at, if you will, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, but Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. See, friends, every time you extend a hand to someone in need, you are extending your hand to the Jesus you claim to follow. And you bring joy to His heart, just as it brings joy to a parent's heart anytime someone extends a hand to help one of their children. And understand this about this parable. This command of Jesus to extend your hand is not a command to offer a hand out, okay, as we often think of that term in today's welfare age. This is not about well-off you and me graciously reaching out to the poor and downtrodden of this world. It's not about you or me giving a $5 bill to one of the people with the sign, help me, up at Fair Lakes Center, and then driving home thinking how gracious we are. Because you see, if you are going to really understand the wonder of being involved in extension ministry, it all starts with the understanding that you and I too are one of the least of these in this parable. Because we're someone whom Jesus extended His hand of grace and mercy and forgiveness at the cross. We are all broken and needy, spiritually speaking. And Jesus stepped off His throne in heaven to come to this world to extend His hand of love. And ultimately, He would extend His hands out on a cross so that you and I could know the wonder and the joy of His love and mercy and forgiveness. And now He calls us to do the same by extending our hand out to meet the needs of the people around us as a way of allowing His love to reflect off of us to them. With that, share some more of our ministry. So I'm going to ask Phyllis Simmons. She'll come up here. And she's going to share with us about a ministry called Young Lives. Young Lives.
And Young tell Lives,
us a,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what that ministry is about.
Okay. I know you've given me opportunity to share about that in the past. Young Lives is the branch of Young Life Ministries that is reaching out to teen moms. Young Life is a ministry that's been around since the 1940s, originally just reaching out into the high schools, and it still exists today. It's an international ministry. It's really cool. But their heart, very heart, is to give every teen an opportunity to hear about Jesus. So over the years, they've extended from high school kids. Now Wildlife is for middle school kids, and within the last 15 to 20 years, we've added Capernaum for kids with disabilities and Young Lives, teens with teen moms. So the idea behind that is to give the teen moms an opportunity to also experience fun and joy, camp, and yes, they go to camp with their babies. That's quite an experience, but ultimately it's really a form of evangelism to do life with these kids, to extend love to them, to help walk through life with them and mentor these teen moms with the hope that they will one day receive Christ as well. and change the trajectory of their lives. I know we say that a lot in this ministry. So it's near and dear to my heart personally, because Young Life is a ministry that the Lord used to bring me to faith in Christ. And my husband Tony and I have been on a lot of committees for many, many years. All our kids went through Young Life and Wildlife and whatnot. So when I heard about this opportunity for teen moms, it really, really touched my heart. Just like Stephanie said, that nudge from the Lord. So many years ago, there was an existing ministry in D.C., but I knew I couldn't be a part of that. It was too far away. And so I said, well, I can start by going and serving at camp as a child care worker. And that was 5 years ago. And we are prayerfully, over the many years, and many of you all have been praying with me alongside. Some in our congregation have gone. Ken Johnson went last year. He's planning to go again this year to serve. So we now have it to the point where we have Young Lives in Fairfax County. So we've had, we hired a coordinator. She's part-time, Brenda Scott, and we've met for the last 4 months. So we have an existing ministry. We have teen moms we're already ministering to, so it's really exciting.
So let's just say someone here like wanted to go off to the camp and do, like, when would that be?
Yeah,
what would be the commitment?
Yeah, I'm sure that that's the burning question. How can I help, right? There are lots of ways. For the local area itself, what we really could, if you're interested in volunteering, be it a mentor or just doing all kinds of behind-the-scenes things, because there's so many things that are involved, please come to my table and I can tell you about that. For every club, we do provide a meal for all the teen moms and their kids. So there is an ongoing monthly need for maybe life groups to provide a meal for about 20 people. That would be a tremendous blessing. Very hands-on, very practical, and very needed. We also have needs, because we're seeing that probably the largest majority of teen moms we're going to be working with speak Spanish as their main language. Some speak English pretty well, but some are very new to this country. And we actually have a gal from El Salvador we're working with, and she's only been here 3 months, and she's had a baby, and she's with us. Isn't that amazing how the Lord does that? So if this is a ministry that you have a heart for and you speak Spanish, we could really, really use your help. Also, for camp, we are always looking to recruit people who'd be willing, as like a mission trip experience, to go serve as a child care worker at camp, because the teen moms go with their babies up to age 3. So it's truly an experience that you will never, ever forget, of over 100 teen moms and almost 100 babies all doing camp together, and it's just an extraordinary experience. So we could use volunteers for that, if that's something you're interested in. Also, there are flyers at our table. If you want to just make a donation through the Amazon gift registry for Young Lives, you can do that. And the cool thing about that is you pick something out, and it gets sent right to camp. So you don't even have to worry about it showing up and who to deliver it to, kind of hands-free kind of way to serve. And I think that's pretty much all I wanted to share. Oh, can I share a little story? Okay, our second club that we had about 5 or 6 girls come. First club, we had 1 girl. Second club, we had about 5. And I was able to go pick 2 of them up. And this girl, I mean, I'm a stranger picking them up, so I'm like, you're so brave. You knew my name, but you didn't know who I was. And I just was curious to know what her response was going to be after the event. And truthfully, we didn't do that many extraordinary events by Young Life standards. Any of you all are familiar with Young Life, you know it can be pretty wild and crazy. This was very low-key, just very relaxed, but just a little fun get-together, sharing kind of thing. And she got in the car, sat in the front seat, and she said, that was so much fun. And I thought to myself, we didn't do anything. But I think the Lord really taught me something great about that response, because these teen moms are often really invisible people in our community. They're sort of outcasts in their own teen world. They're outcasts in their high schools. They're often overlooked. They're often, most of them are in kind of poverty situations, so the world kind of overlooks them. So I thought to myself, and I felt like the Lord was saying, just love her. Just be with them. Just hang in there. You don't have to be perfect. And I thought, well, we can do that. We can just be there and just notice you and care about you. So huge lesson and huge opportunity. It's kind of like when worlds collide. It's amazing.
Well, we're excited to be a part of this. And so thank you. And you'll have a table back there.
Yes, we'll
be
out there.
This is our Young Lives Ministry. That's all right. Jeff Danforth is going to come up, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about a ministry that you've heard about before that's a really, really wonderful ministry of the church. It's called New Commandment. And Jeff, why don't you share a little bit about what New Commandment is and what you're doing?
Okay, good. For you that are new here at Cedar Run, New Commandment Men's Ministry is a once-a-month gathering of guys on Saturday mornings for about 3 to 4 hours. We get here at 8 o'clock in the morning and have an hour of basically a devotion to remind us what we're doing and why we should do it. And then we pray for our single moms and widows that are in the congregation that we serve. And then we go out and serve them. And we typically have teams of 3 or 4 men who go out and do odd jobs at the house and hopefully make that single mom's life a little bit easier. What we hope to do is to, we have the same guys go to the same home and family each month to develop a, hopefully a very long-lasting relationship, as long as they need us. And we, in the sense of that, we've become a little bit of a safety net, and they have had occasions to call their team leader, and during the month and ask for help and for different things that pop up. But it's a sweet ministry for guys to kind of lock arms and get together, have a lot of fun. But more importantly, it's about the relationships that we all develop together, as well as develop with our families that we serve. And at the end of the time, usually on a Saturday morning, we always pray with our care receiver. And she gives us some ideas as to what hardships are going on in her life, and we pray for her then, and then commit to pray for her during the rest of the month. So I was thinking, as you were highlighting these ministries, back in the 80s was a guy named Jeff Moore, and Jeff Moore had a band called The Distance. Now, this was a Christian band, all right? But one of the refrains in one of his songs was, a heart to God and a hand to man, there begins the healing of our land. And I think that's what you're hearing up here, that relationships matter. As God so loved us, that we need to extend that love to the folks around us. The idea is to serve the women and families in this congregation, but guys, as we get more, we'll go out in the communities. We've had several women say, well, if you have enough men, I know of a woman on our street or in our neighborhood that really could use another team. So it's an opportunity to do that. We've got about 25 or 26 guys involved right now.
I'd love to see that. The next time I have Jeff up here to say that's 50. And then 100 guys involved.
Yep.
How about that? You know, there's not a ministry, Jeff, that I don't think that I hear more often when I'm meeting with someone at this church that doesn't say to me, you know, the most incredible thing that's happened at this church for me was what you guys did in New Commandments. So thank you. Why is it important we be involved in extension ministry? It's because each time you reach a hand out to help someone, you are reaching a handout to a person made in the image of God, a person for whom Jesus hung and bled and died on the cross to save. Now, this is not to say that you can get to heaven by doing good things. I don't want to confuse that issue here. But it is a measure of having the love of Christ in you that you will want to extend your hand. 1 John 4:20 and 21 says this. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. And this is the way we do this ministry. We have a couple more here, so I'm going to ask Jackie Young to come up here now. And she's going to talk with us a little bit about a ministry very dear to her heart called Salt and Light. So, Jack, if you just share a little bit about what is Salt and Light.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I don't have the strongest voice right now, but we're going to tough it out. So David kind of stole my thunder when he put up the parable, because we're based on Matthew 25, 35 through 40. And what we're doing right now is we are serving the homeless in our community, which there's a lot, and we might walk right by them. I don't know if you all are aware, but in the summertime, if you're coming off the toll road and you come off to the Reston Parkway exit right there by the Target, if you look very carefully to the right, in the woods there's a whole tent community in there of homeless people. And they're out there during the day, and they hang out. And when it's really, really hot out, they need a place to go where it's cold, and sometimes you see them in Target. A lot of times I see them in the Reston Public Library. And they really congregate together, which is nice and interesting. They're around us everywhere, and we don't even know it. And a lot of times, they look like you and me. And so what we've done is we're partnering with Cornerstones, and specifically the Embry-Rucker Shelter, the homeless shelter in Reston, which is right next to the public library and right across from the police station. And we go in and we serve. And right now, we're serving on the second Sunday of every month. We serve dinner. And my team has had the privilege, and it's a distinct privilege, to go in and to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to feed these people a meal and give them a smile and get the chance to say hi and how are you and has your day gone or are things good for you this week? And I've been doing this ministry for quite a while myself, and I've seen the same people, and I've seen them come and I've seen them go. And they go into, there's a great woman there who, she got on her feet and she got into an apartment and she was all set up. And then they sort of check on them every once in a while. And they realized she was missing some appointments. She wasn't taking her medication. And unfortunately, she found herself being diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And she came back into the shelter because her needs would be met by the staff of the shelter. And she was always looked after. And I still see her at breakfast once a month. And you see the rapid decline, but she's there and she's happy and she's looked after. And I know that for me personally, it's so important to know that I'm just contributing a little bit of my time and a little bit of my effort, and it makes such a huge impact. So I really would love to ask for any of you who are interested to come and join, be on our team. We've had great success with our initial signups, but we're always looking for more help. We can only take a couple people at a time, about 5 to 6 people, to come in and actually on a Sunday evening serve dinner, be a smile, have a nice word for everyone. And it's so fulfilling. I have to tell you, my birthday wish last year was that I got to do that, and I did. And it was great on the day of your birth to go in and see these people and feel like you are Jesus to them. It's so great. Sorry.
Praise God. Praise God. That's a Salt and Light ministry, guys. And I have one more, and that is I'm going to ask Kevin Kennedy to come up, because Kevin has a ministry. This is one that we haven't, the others, probably everyone here, if you've been around, you've heard us talk about. This is one you maybe haven't heard, but this is a ministry that's been going on some time to the prisons, our prison ministry call. So Kevin, share a little bit about it.
Great. Well, it's really two ministries I'm involved in. One is the Juvenile Detention Center, where we have a church service that we provide the second Sunday of every month. And then the other part is going to the Adult Detention Center, where I've been involved in mentoring since about 1993. So I want to speak about those briefly, about mm-hmm. each part. On the juvenile side, I got involved about, I think it's been about 6 or 7 years ago with a team here. And as I say, we go there the second Sunday of every month. And it's almost like going into a school, except that the doors lock both ways. And there are about 40-ish or so, the population varies down at the juvenile detention center. And last month when we were there, we had about 3/4 of the kids that were able to attend. And that's voluntary for them. They have a choice to come to that service. And one time I had asked some of the kids, I had asked, you know, why did you come here today? Why did you make the choice to attend the service? And this one girl raised her hand and she said, I came here looking for hope. And I couldn't explain it any better than that, that's what that ministry is all about, is for them to see a face of the community and coming down and taking the time to really provide a church service to them has a big impact on those kids. And on the adult side, really as a volunteer there, the sheriff's office has a chaplain, and his name is Chaplain Bob Milne. He's supported by the Good News Jail and Prison Ministries, which is located out of Richmond. And being a volunteer for the chaplain's office, you can either be involved in supporting a Bible study, one-on-one mentoring, or you can even help with administrative work with the chaplain's office. And that's been an incredible thing there. It's probably the only ministry, or one of the few ministries I can think of, where both men and women will fill out a form and sign up to be on a waiting list to effectively hear the gospel. And the one thing, there's a difference. Many people call it a prison ministry. It's really a jail ministry here in Fairfax County. And the difference is that in a jail ministry, that individuals are coming into that facility and many are going back out into the community. They may have shorter term sentences. And so, for example, in one-on-one mentoring, I'll mentor them until they are released or they get sent down, transferred to a state facility. But the big impact that they have is really the burden that they tend to feel when they see the actions, the devastation that they've caused in victims, their families, their own family, and the community at large. And sometimes that can be incredible for them to really come face-to-face and be accountable and face those consequences. So this is really, again, giving them hope that there's a different path that they can take, and so we try to provide that. So if anybody's interested in getting involved in that, that is a little bit more detailed. There's an application process, a background check, and training that's provided on the adult side. But if you're interested, please come see me at the table.
All right. Well, in closing, let's return to the parable that Jesus told. I think if he was here this morning, these might be his words. Because our Thanksgiving table was barren, and you provided a meal so that we might celebrate. Because I had a house that was falling apart, and you picked up a hammer to help me fix it. Because I was a young single mom, and you watched my children so I could learn more about you, about the Jesus. Because I was homeless and hungry, and you cared enough to serve me a meal. Because I was in prison, and you came to be with me to give me hope. And in his parable, Jesus says, some of the people will respond by extending their hand, and some will not. See, again, Jesus was not saying you can work your way into heaven by doing good things. But he was saying that the measure of a person having the love of Christ in them is they will want to extend a hand. Because that was the way of Jesus. And yes, friends, we cannot do everything. We cannot fix all the problems of this sorry, fallen world. But we can do something. We can extend a hand to one person at a time. And you do that when you reach out in some small way to help them. And you've gotten a lot of examples here today of ways you can do that. It was Mother Teresa who said, God doesn't ask us to do great things. He asks us to do small things with great love. And that message is, I believe, at the heart of all of the Cedar Run Extension Ministries. And so at this time, I'm going to ask everybody who was up here talking about an extension ministry to come forward. Come stand at the front. And I'm going to come stand right up here, just so we don't have to come back up on stage. But everyone, and also everyone, we have kids serving all here at the front, so we can see you all together. And I'm going to ask, because I probably would have had this in there today if I'd known they were going to be here, but I didn't expect them. I'm going to ask Chris and Kathy Brigham to come up here too, because they have a ministry that's very much an extension ministry, which they're doing to inner city kids at their lake house. And we'll have to devote some time to that at another service. But I want them to be up here as well. And I'm going to ask Pastor Seeger to come, and he's going to pray for all of this here as they stand at the front.
All right, as we have the leaders of these ministries that we're going to be praying for in a minute, I think it's so important that we be a congregation that is passionate about going out and reaching our community. So I'm going to ask if you've served in any of these ministries at any point, if you would stand as well too, because we want to be praying for you. We're grateful that you've gone out into this community. So if right where you are, if you've helped out, if you've served at Salt and Light, at KidServe, or any of these ministries, if you'd stand as well, if you're involved in New Commandment, and if you'd stay standing through this prayer, because I hope that all of us as a congregation would talk to you and ask you what you're doing and how we can get involved too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, and we are so grateful that you chose not to stay in heaven's comfort, but you left and came into this sin-infested world. You invaded our history in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross and has risen again. And Lord, you call all of us who ask Jesus to be our Savior to go out into the world. Lord, would you give us the grace to leave the comforts of this church world to go out into the community around us and to share the good news of Jesus Christ through word and through deed. Lord, help us to show the love of Jesus by serving in practical ways, but let us always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Lord, I thank you for these ministries represented here. I think of the River House, the jail ministries. I think of KidServe. I think of New Commandment. I think of Salt and Light. I think of our extension ministries that we partner with Western Fairfax Christian Ministries. Lord, and for any other ministries that really haven't started yet, but you're nudging people's heart, Lord, we pray that you would use us to reach this community. Lord, I pray your grace and your blessings on all those who are leading and serving within these ministries. May they represent you well, and may they have the joy of seeing many come to saving faith in Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Y'all can stand. The worship team's going to come forward. I want all of you here that are going to need to be at a table. Why don't you go on out now so you can get at your table. We've run a little bit long, which is fine. But I don't want to cut out the last song, but I'm going to ask if you can maybe just shorten it a little bit so we can make sure we get the kids from our children's ministry that we need to get. But I do want to close with a song, and then I will do the benediction before we leave.